Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities. Joining us this morning is our guest, Dr. Linda Lagarde Grover. Linda, are you there? Did I push all the right buttons? Oh, I love it when a plan comes together. Oh, good morning. It is, you know, new technology. You were all over the new technology. As a matter of fact, last week you had presented a wonderful talk presentation. I guess I don't really know what you call a Zoom thing, Point of Rocks, Stories and Histories from Missabikong. Did I say that right?
I say Missabikong.
Missabikong, okay, yes. And you're obviously going to know much better than I. Are you excited about the idea that doing these presentations virtually really opens them up to a lot more people that could maybe never have attended something like this in person?
Yeah, we had a lot of people on there. I think 112 or something like that was what I was counting. And we reached many more people than would have been able to stop by one of our afternoon presentations. Four in an afternoon is a good time, but yeah, it really made a difference. And then we were able to record it, too. So that will be available, I don't know, I hope pretty soon for people to just, you know, come in and take a look and a listen to. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, technology is a wonderful thing. And we hadn't really thought until these crazy times that we'd be doing our stuff on Zoom like this. But and this was our very first one as a department. So it actually worked very well.
Well, it's exciting. You know, I mean, I realize that we're trying extra hard to find every silver lining that we possibly can. But I've been fascinated by authors, too, who have really missed the opportunity to connect in person. You're an author. Of course, you've been our guest on Minnesota Reads. They miss the opportunity to connect in person with their readers. And yet people who are fans of their work can join and take part from all over the country. And that's got to be kind of exciting, too. And especially maybe elders, maybe folks that you'd like to have join the presentation now can be a part of it without having to get in the car or have somebody drive them. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, there's you know, positives and negatives, I guess, in everything you look at, beyond the pandemic, beyond our Zoom meeting. So, yeah, I guess it's looking for the silver lining. It's just always being aware that there can be something good out there for you.
You bet. So let's talk a little bit about your presentation from last week. It was really kind of an interesting thing that obviously many folks were interested in, the way that some of the traditional stories that you tell, either through fiction, through academic writings, through poetry, some of these traditional stories and these traditional situations have kind of intersected. And it's also kind of taking a look at where the people of this area started, the indigenous people and the non-indigenous people, where they started back in the day and how they were interacting with one another and where they were culturally at different times in their lives. Talk about your presentation from last week.
I want to establish in here a sense of place, and that we certainly nobody owns a place. When you come right down to it, and you know, the Ojibwe people have been here for quite some time, but we arrived here, you know, from the times of the Great Migration hundreds of years ago, and there were people here ahead of us. So there were Dakota people ahead of us, and before the Dakota, there were other people, and so we are living lives and establishing our histories on a piece of ground that is all holy ground, really. So it is not like it's my land, it's your land. you know, certainly there are many, many different ways of looking at who has some sort of title to the land. And so I'm looking at it through the old stories, through the, you know, the spirituality-based stories, and also through, you know, certainly legal aspects and tribal sovereignty aspects, you know, treaty days, and you know, who has ceded land and who has retained rights. But along with that are the stories that have been with us for a very, very long time that have to do with the earth and our interaction with the world around us, the natural world, and each other, and the universe. And those are running parallel to this, to the stories of movement and removals of people from land and movements to reservations and towns. And I do believe those are intertwined and have been, you know, always have been, and continue to be today. So through some, and I have some fictional pieces where an old story will wind itself through something set in more contemporary times. And I talk too about, you know, the results of some of these movements that have really made hard times in some people's lives. And yet at the same time, just as land is not negated, you know, my idea is that, you know, you put a sidewalk on it or not, the sidewalk will be gone one day, so will we. The land is still a sacred thing. It's the same with, you know, with people and with the spirit of our ancestors and our hero, our spirit hero, Nana Buju, who's present in everyone, including people whose lives have been, you know, very, very difficult in many ways. So I'm winding all that stuff together with some stuff about Duluth, and, you know, the point of rocks is in the middle of Duluth here, so it's kind of a history of that geographic thing, and Duluth and the area around here. And I used, I have used an Ojibwe word in the title, then, Misabi Kong, which is another of the words for this place here, and it translates in English to mean the place of the giants. Oh, that was a lot to say at one time.
It's marvelous. Linda, how is it? I'm thinking about a lot of the ways, and in many ways, I think it's appropriate that we as human beings are starting to segment off different things. And we're trying to say, you know, this is yours, and I don't get to come in and mess with it. We're talking about cultural traditions in a lot of ways. We're talking about traditional religious practices in a lot of ways. There's always been a tension between older people and younger people in terms of how much you mess with tradition. And, of course, you know, that's something also that takes place within cultures, not just between different cultures. That takes place a lot of times within cultures. When you say, for example, that you decide to take an old story and fictionalize it and bring it, you know, into the modern day and have it sort of weaving threads there, do you ever think, ooh, I should be asking permission about this, or I should be checking with somebody about this, or is that a misunderstanding on my part of the way stories are shared?
I think it's important, well, I know it's important, for someone who is telling a story or sharing a story to always remember what is really important here and needs to be, you know, included and brought forward. And so my idea here is that the story is present in a fictionalized story. And so, no, I haven't fictionalized the story, but I have shown where the old story, and when I call it an old story, I don't mean that it's old and, you know, like these are my old shoes. It's something that has been with us for
right.
such a long time.
A traditional story.
Right. And that what the elements of that story, just as we're taught that they're supposed to be present in our lives today, it is I think that what I've tried to do here is show that they are present in this work, when we're talking about, you know, a comparatively recent history of the Duluth area here, the regions and settlers, we may have been moved off this area, and we may not hold title to it anymore, where Mesabikong and the Point of Rocks is, but at the same time, it is our homeland. And so I do believe that the interweaving of the traditions into the stories are very much like the interweaving of those traditions are to our own existence, what we're supposed to be carrying on today.
I think about friends of mine who have traveled to Sweden and Norway, and you see the pictures, and they're standing there by a fjord, and they come back, of course, with gorgeous, outrageously expensive Norwegian sweaters, and you think, oh, you know, how marvelous. Wouldn't it be fun to reconnect in that way? I hadn't really had it put to me just in black and whites, and just really kind of come up against the home truth until a conversation that I had with Jim Rock a few months back. He says, we are home. There's nowhere to go back to. Mm-hmm. What is it like to try to stay connected to your land when that entire, when all of that history is so fraught, so emotional, so painful, so damaging?
Well, there's some, yeah, for sure, it's some very difficult things here, but at the same time, we are standing on our homeland, and it is important, you know, our feet are on the ground here, and we're walking around. And I would say, in my view, especially women who are close to the earth anyway, and you know, just in touch with it all the time. You know, we are the earth. Well, the earth is a woman. The earth is a mother, and so we, you know, it isn't just a. I wouldn't even call it a connection. It is who we are and what we are. And so, you know, we've had a difficult history. At the same time, I believe that what we are as a people is such a, you know, such a tremendous gift to us all that, you know, we are thankful for it every day. You start out the day being thankful for this.
Linda, I hope you will drop me a line as soon as there is a link up to this presentation so that I can include it in this story. I really want to be able to share that with folks who were not able to attend, and maybe folks who were able to attend and maybe wanted to jot a couple things down. I'd love to see this again. Yes, I have the opportunity. So I hope that you're able to get in touch with me as soon as that link is up and we have a chance to include that so it'll be easy for folks to find.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I would love to do that.
That'd be great. Linda, thanks so much for being our guest this morning. It's always so great to talk with you.
Wonderful talking with you, Lisa.
Linda Lagarde Grover, our guest this morning here on KUMD. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving health care access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.